This is Doug Miller. If I be real religious, God will be pleased with me, won't he? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time, Bible in hand, open at the third chapter of Philippians, and we would invite all of you to just come along, bring your Bibles, open up to the third chapter of Philippians. We will begin with verse 4 today and get as far as we can get, and I think you will find a tremendous blessing in hearing the Word of God spoken over this, through this mic and out over the airwaves. So please, come along. Open those Bibles. If you don't have one, get one. If you can't afford one, write me. I'll see to it that you get one. All right. And call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, I say that often on here because really, you are the ones out there listening to us who are a part of this ministry as much as anyone here. We have no advertising budget. Don't intend to get an advertising budget. Don't intend to spend the Lord's money and the Lord's people's money in that way. And we're strictly a faith ministry. You know, if the Lord's people stop supporting us, we won't go anywhere. But we're not going to spend money on those kind of things and on fancy things like that. We depend on you. Tell people. And write us down on your prayer list and pray for us. I am telling you, without your prayers, we will be as dead as a hammer around this place. We will have nothing to say at all. And, yeah, I can come on here and talk, but we need your prayers and the power of the Holy Spirit, because there are always enemies out there trying to stop this word from going out. So pray for us. Tell others to listen. And, of course, we'd always love to hear you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you at the end of the broadcast again. And once again, another little thing that I've begun announcing on here, you might want to go online and pull up our webpage and see what's on there if it interests you, www.dialogueministries.org. And the all one word is in little letters. Okay. All right. When we were in here last time, we were looking at Paul's advice to the Philippians. And we saw that Paul didn't mince any words. Of course, he never did. If there was anything he knew how to do, it was talk straight, to call a spade and not an agricultural implement. And he was very plain in what he had to say about Jews and Gentiles, and he lumps them all together as evildoers. Now, I know how religion is. I don't like religion. I have never liked religion, and the longer I live, the less I like it. Because religion, no matter whether it's the, you know, Islamic religion or the Christian religion or the Jewish religion or the, you know, what have you, it all comes down to the same thing. Do this, 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 and this, and somehow you will earn favor with God. Somehow God will be pleased with you. Now, that is a lie right out of the pit. God is not going to be pleased with you just because you did a bunch of things. And as we were looking at it last time, we were talking about circumcision. Now, Paul, in verse 4, gets into, and this is powerful. I want you to, I know a guy. I know more than one who is like this, but I know this particular guy that I'm thinking, a very close friend of mine, who grew up in the a Catholic church. He was a good Catholic, baptized, confirmed, went through all of this, And he got saved later on, and he told me, he said, one of the main problems I had with getting saved was convincing myself and having someone convince me that I was really a sinner in need of salvation. I was never taught, you know, I was taught that if I did all of these things, I would be right. And it was purely on the outside. Now, look, for all of you Roman Catholics out there, I am not, you know, attacking Roman Catholicism. That's not what I'm doing. Because I could easily say it about any other. I could say it about myself. I grew up in a church where, you know, you join the church, you get baptized, you receive communion, and you called yourself a Christian. And I was no more saved than a baboon. And when I got saved, I said, well, where was I? What was the matter here? Part of the matter was that I didn't really understand that I was lost. And when I became aware of the fact that I was lost, I had a real problem on my hands because all I knew to do was to keep on doing what I had been doing, that is going to church, kneeling appropriately, saying the appropriate things, you know, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and what have you. And that's all I knew to do because that's all anyone had taught me. And the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that salvation is by grace through faith, by believing and receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that came as an entire, it came as a revelation to me. Now look at Paul here. Paul's talking to and about a bunch of guys who have confidence in the flesh, that is, in their religion. You stand at the proper time. You kneel at the proper time. You ingest the proper foods. You have the proper ceremonies performed over you. Blah, blah, blah. Well, says Paul, I might have confidence in the flesh. He had ended the third verse by saying, we don't have any confidence in the flesh. That's how he ended the third verse, as we saw last time. Beginning the fourth verse, but I might have confidence in the flesh. And he goes on and says, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now, you want to talk about confidence in the flesh, says Paul? Fine, let's talk about it. What have you had done to you? You went through some ceremony somewhere where you got oil poured on you and the sign of the cross made over you and you got put under the water or had water sprinkled on you and had your name written down on a roll. I mean, just run down the list. And you have the Ten Commandments nailed up on your wall at home and you occasionally scan through the Sermon on the Mount and say, isn't that wonderful? And you feel all warm and fuzzy about it. Then you go out and you try to do good. And, of course, you kind of do good maybe for a while and then you slip and say, oh, well, I guess no one's perfect, and blah, blah, blah. It becomes tiresome. Do you really like to go through that? Well, look at what Paul says. If you want to put confidence in the flesh, I have reason to have confidence in the flesh. I was circumcised on the eighth day. Now, you know, he's been talking about circumcision up here. In fact, he said of himself and these other Christians, we are the spiritual circumcision. It's not a fleshly thing. But Paul says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. Yes, under the Mosaic law, that's what you did to males. On the eighth day, you brought them down to the temple or down to the synagogue or the place of meeting, wherever you came together, and a ceremony. They went through it, and they were circumcised in their foreskin. And they were now, you know, I mean, they all did it. Well, I've had that, says Paul. Okay. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I know, I can trace my lineage right back to Benjamin. Well, come on, gang. I can trace my lineage back to a bog in Ireland, I guess. That's about as far back as I can go. I can trace my lineage back to a tavern in Dublin or Belfast or someplace. I don't know where. But here's a guy who could go all the way back to Benjamin. and he could lay his lineage and his birthright back and trace himself clear back to Jacob's last son, Benjamin. Here he was, a Benjamite. Same tribe as tall King Saul, the first king of Israel. Here he was. And he says here, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I am a Hebrew's Hebrew. You want to talk about the flesh? Line them up. Let me see what your pedigree is. Here's mine. And he says, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Ooh, we know these guys, don't we? For those of you out there who believe, who think that you are keeping the law, that you are, well, I'm keeping the Ten Commandments. Oh, really? I am so impressed with that. You had better go back and read what these Pharisees did. You want to talk about law keeping? Boy, they kept it. They kept the law. They bound it in. They had little verses that they bound in phylacteries around their heads, and they nailed them up at their doorposts. And I mean, it is difficult. It's impossible. Man, I was, he said, a Pharisee. Now, this is what Paul was. Here are religious people. You want to talk about religion? I mean, here are guys who could put them all to shame. And those of you out there who are Hindus or who are Buddhists, and you all have your real strict sects. Well, these Pharisees were the strictest. These guys were the back to Bible movement of their day. Does that interest you any? These were the Bible-toting, text-quoting fundamentalists of their day. Then they were ready to consign to the stinking pits of hell anyone who dared disagree with them. And you know what the Lord said about them. The Lord Jesus called them a generation of vipers, snakes. You go back and read in the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd chapters of Matthew, and you'll see what he said about the Pharisees. And here were guys who said they represented God. And in their minds, I guess they did. And guess what they did? They crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. They crucified him. They are the very ones that dragged him down in front of the Gentile Romans and said, "Crucify this man. He's an evildoer." They said they were looking for the kingdom. They said they were waiting for the king. Well, what did they do when he came? They couldn't wait to get rid of him quick enough. That's what religion does. Religion does not love God. It hates God. Religion does not bring you into a relationship with God. It puts a barrier between you and God, one that you can never get over or get around because you'll never live up to it. And here was this man, Paul. He was a Pharisee. Is it surprising to find in the 8th chapter of Acts, at the end of the 7th and the beginning of the 8th, that he was right out there as a young man holding the coats of the ones who stoned Stephen to death, dragged him out of the city and stoned him, and there he was. He may not have thrown the stones, but he held the coats of the men who did. He was right out there egging them on. Does that surprise you? Well, look at what else he says about himself. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Blameless. What do you think of that? If you could get saved by keeping the law, Paul would have done it. Oh, incidentally, I skipped over something. Let's go back and read the whole sixth verse, because in my foolishness, I missed the first part. He says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. And we know about that, don't we? We know what Paul was. Not only was he a Pharisee, he was zealous. He was absolutely convinced, ignorantly perhaps, but nevertheless, absolutely convinced that these Christians, who basically were all Jews when Paul came along, There may have been a few Gentiles that straggled in. We know about Cornelius's household, but mostly they were Jews. And Paul was absolutely convinced that they were following this man, Jesus, who was a deceiver, and they had caused a split and a schism in Judaism, and they needed to be stamped out and wiped out like the vermin that he thought they were. And he was after them. Boy, we know about, we can read about him in the book of Acts. Was he zealous? He was zealous. And he kept the law. He kept the law, and he says here, blamelessly. Now, I want to urge you to consider this and consider it very carefully. This is not just Paul's assessment of himself. This is apostolic, and therefore it is God-breathed, and therefore it is Spirit-inspired, and this is the Holy Spirit who is testifying this of Paul. Paul kept the law blamelessly. Was he going to heaven? He was on his way to hell just as fast as he could get there. He was in darkness and in rebellion and working against God and not for God and persecuting. And you know what, you know, on his Damascus Road experience, you know what the Lord Jesus said to him when he blinded him. Why are you persecuting me? You know that back in the book of Acts. Go back and read it. Read Acts. Oh, begin about the 8th chapter. Read clear through the 8th and 9th chapters and even on down into the 10th chapter. And read what Paul's experience was. Why are you persecuting me? Says the Lord Jesus. Not why are you persecuting my followers, but why are you persecuting me? Why? Because Jesus Christ is the head over his body, the church, and we are all one with one another and in him. And when you persecute a follower of the Lord Jesus, you're persecuting the Lord. And Paul was doing that very thing. But now look, let's go on and look at verse 7. What things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Or on account of Christ. Now, all of these things that he is talking about, he makes it clear he thought were gain, were profit. Let's look at them again. Circumcision. His fleshly pedigree. Tribe of Benjamin. Hebrew. Religiously speaking, Pharisee. Keeping the law. All of those were gain, and he said, I counted them loss. Yea, doubtless, he goes on, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but, and the King James says, dung. Now, I know that word is offensive, and that's a word that we wouldn't use today, but they used it back in the days of the King James language. I like it. If you're offended by that, well, I'm sorry. But I like it. I think it says it real well. The actual word in the Greek, incidentally, is skubala, which means awful, something that is thrown out to the dogs, scraps that are thrown away. And I don't know how the modern translators translate this. I count them, but whatever. But the King James says, dung, that I may win or gain Christ. I want you to think about this. Here is a man who, after his experience on the Damascus Road when he was blinded, went back, led by the hand into Damascus, and was there without eating or drinking for 3 days, blind, until Ananias was sent in to lay hands on him and pray for him. And he was, you know, he arose and was baptized. And remember what the Lord said to Ananias. You know, Ananias, he said, go down and you'll find this man in a street called Straight in Damascus. Go in there. He's praying. He has seen in a vision one named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him. Ananias said, oh, Lord, I know about this guy. He scares me. I don't want to mess with him. Well, he's a killer. He's killed your people and his go your way. He is a chosen vessel to me. And the Lord said, I will show him how many things he will have to suffer for my sake. Well, what did Paul have to suffer? Well, he suffered the loss of everything. His family cut him off. His people cut him off. He went out. He wound up with nothing, physically speaking. I mean, he's had everything that he had taken away from him, and he's writing this from a jail. And Paul says to these people in Philippi, what difference does it make? They were nothing but junk anyway. The whole thing. I'd give it up all again just to gain Christ and be found in him, not having my righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, some of you out there who are listening to me, you need to listen very carefully. And you need to read what Paul wrote here, and you need to apply it to yourself. And if you're saying, oh, well, he was one of these fanatics, and God's not calling me to do that, why, guess again. Paul is no different than you, and whatever God called Paul to do, God is calling you to do, at least in this sense. You, whoever you are, you have a calling if you're saved. And if you're not saved, you better get saved or you will go to hell. But if you are saved, you have a calling. And your calling is to be separated unto God and to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to be found in him, not having your righteousness. Your righteousness is nothing. It is pure junk. And your righteousness in and of, if it's just of you, it's just filthy rags. You need to get rid of that. Toss it away and lay hold on Christ and start rejoicing in his righteousness. Because I want to tell you something. Everything that he did, everything that he has been written down to your account. And as I said last time and have said many times on here and will continue to say every chance I get, we are not talking about going out and living a sinful life. If you have been saved, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And you are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live for Christ and to rejoice in him and to be cut off from evil and to allow him to live his life in and through you. Paul writing to the Galatians once again, Galatians 2:20, I am, have been, and am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to be found in him, wrote Paul here, not having my righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ by faith in him. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.